approach Your Word today. I thank You, Father, that we have hearing ears, ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say to the church. I pray, God, that Your people will increase today, Lord, in the wisdom and in the knowledge of Your will. I pray, God, that they will have understanding, and Lord, they'll receive this word today in their spirit man, that it will grow strong, and Lord, they'll be able to stand against anything that comes at them. They'll be able to overcome because they're world overcomers. I thank You, Father, that You can use me today as Your vessel, an instrument that You can work through to stand up here, Lord, and pastor Your people and minister a word to them, Lord, a sure word, God, that they can receive in their hearts, Lord. They can take, they can use it, and Lord, in every area of their life, be successful and be victorious with it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. These past few Sundays, I have been teaching you about the will of God. And, you know, you need to understand and know that you're not just, you know, like a piece of driftwood floating down the Rio Grande River, you know, waiting to go ashore somewhere. God has a wonderful purpose and a plan for your life. Amen? And so I spent like 2 weeks on, first of all, understanding our alignment, the fact that we have to get aligned with God. We come into the kingdom of God, we're born again, we have to begin to renew our mind, we have to begin to realize that the old things and the old life, the old nature is supposed to be passed away, and we have to let new things become new. Amen? We don't know it all, and we'll never know it all. But we can have our minds renewed by this word, and we begin to act and live like God wants us to live and act in this earth as representatives or ambassadors of His kingdom. Now, that puts us, alignment, say alignment, that puts us in not just right standing with God, but in position to hear God's assignment. Before we can move into assignment, we have to be aligned. And so God, the Bible tells us and makes it very clear that God has an assignment for us. Now, here in 2 Timothy, I want to read this because this, and we'll start here and then we'll finish today with this passage of Scripture. But I want to read out of verse 5. If you got it, say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. He says, "Now you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." Do the work of an evangelist. What kind of work does an evangelist do? Well, evangelist is always quick to tell somebody about Jesus. Has Jesus saved you? Do you realize the price that Jesus paid for your salvation? Well, we should always be ready and willing to tell somebody about Jesus. That's what it means, the work of an evangelist. Are you glad you're saved? I said, are you glad that Jesus saved you from sin? He saved you from destruction. He saved you from the pit of hell. Are you appreciative of that great salvation in your life? How many of you are appreciative that God saved you? Amen. Took you out of nowhere. He found you. He wasn't lost. And bless God, He poured in the oil and wine and made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now that's wonderful. That's great. And then He says, fulfill your ministry. Underline that word, fulfill your ministry. Because that's an interesting word there when you look at it in the original. It really means like a coat or a jacket, like a jacket I'm wearing, that God has a perfect fit for every one of us. You know, for example, I think I wear like a 46 or 48, depending on the make of it. But if I put on somebody's jacket that was maybe a 52 or a 54, how many know that's not going to look too good? I'm going to have to double it up and sleeves are going to hang down. Or if I put on, you know, Marvin's or somebody, I probably wouldn't be able to move my arms or move around. And when we understand that that is a picture, if you will, when He says fulfill our ministry, is a picture of what God has for each and every one of us, a perfect fit. God wants you to know and understand that He has an assignment for your life that will fit what God created you for and God created you to be. Are you with me so far? And so Paul goes on to say here, he says, "For I am ready." For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. And look at verse 7. He said, "I have fought a good fight of faith, finished the race." He says, "I have fought the good fight." Now it's a good fight. Why? Because when you win, it's always a good fight. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." So there's three levels, or there's three occupations to our assignment. The first one is that we have to be like a wrestler or a fighter. We are in a good fight. Amen. And we have to learn, just like a wrestler or a fighter, we can't let the enemy just knock us over and knock us out. He may knock us down, but we can get back up. Amen. Remember, we can go the distance with Him because in the end we win. So we have to learn in our assignment that we got to be a fighter and not a quitter. Because the devil, if he can, and he's allowed to, he'll take you out by fighting you and by resisting you. But you know what we're told to do? We're told to resist the devil. I said, we're told to stand against all of his devices. And having done to stand therefore. So we understand what a good fight is. Amen. We are not going to lose. And then the next one is you have to be a runner. You know, just like the athletes that train for the Olympics, they have to have endurance training. They have to learn the rules to play by. They have to, you know, they'll disqualify them if they get out of their lane or if they're passing the baton and they don't hand it off just right. You know, we've got to make sure that we understand the rules because there's a race for us to run. And the race will bring with it a reward once we cross the finish line. We don't know when the finish line, but we've got to keep our eyes on the finish because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then the third occupation here is that you've got to be like a soldier. A soldier has to learn to protect the faith, protect the anointing. You have the anointing on the inside of you. You've got to protect the faith like a good soldier would do in protecting his country. You know why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now listen to me. We have to have these levels to fulfill our assignment. Now I want you to go over to Acts chapter 15 with me. We'll come back here in a little bit to end the message. But I want you to go over to the book of Acts, chapter 15, and we'll spend most of the time in here. And I want you to see a few things in Acts chapter 15. Now let me give you, as you're turning over there, let me give you a couple of statements. You know, you might want to write these things down again because I am talking about the will of God. And I'm talking about today that God speaks to us and we have to learn the delivery methods that God uses. Last week I gave you five ways that God speaks to us, and today I'm going to give you four more. But let me just make you a couple of statements. Our assignment, first of all, comes from two sources. Say two sources. It comes from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You need both of those working in your life. You need the Word and you need the Spirit, because the Bible says that the Word and the Spirit, they must agree. And we'll find out. The Spirit of God gives you direction. Say direction. And the Spirit, the Word gives you protection, and the Spirit of God gives you direction. Let me say it again. The Spirit of God gives you direction. Remember, you can't know where you are going if you don't know where you're starting. And so it gives you, the Spirit of God gives you direction, and the Word of God gives you protection. The Word of God is that Bible that you're supposed to have right there in your lap. Okay? Now listen to this. God's Word will never conflict His will. It will never be contradictory to His Word. Whatever the Spirit of God is telling you, whatever the Spirit of God is instructing you, whatever the Word of God says will never contradict His will. Are you with me, church? So we need to know that the revealed will of God is His Word. The concealed will of God is His Spirit. And as we become more spiritual, and I use that term, you know, very cautiously with you, because there's a lot of people that say they are spiritual, but they're really not spiritual, because spiritual people learn how to hear the voice of God. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and their daughters of God. A lot of times people think God is telling them to do something or telling them to do that, but it's contradictory to His Word, and that cannot be God. God will never contradict His Word with whatever instruction that you're receiving from God. So you have to make sure that it is God, because you'll find out that the Holy Spirit is in you for divine guidance. In other words, the Word will have a general will of God. Everybody in here can follow the general will of God, but the Holy Spirit will give you a specific will of God for your life. That's called the assignment. In other words, what God has assigned you to do in this earth, to occupy until either He comes or He takes you home. And so every one of us in here, whether we realize it or not, whether we're mature yet or not, God has an assignment for us to fulfill. That's why He said, fulfill your ministry. Find the jacket. Find the clothes. Find the shirt. Find the dress. Find the one that fits you. Find the ministry that has been designed by God to be a perfect fit for your life. Are you with me? All right. So, here in Acts chapter 15, I want you, did you find it yet? Okay. Today I'm going to show you four ways that reveal the Word of God to us. Okay. Now, in Acts chapter 15, and I don't have time to go and develop all the storylines here, but basically what you have here is a group of leaders in the church that have a problem. The problem is discerning what the will of God is, because they are confused about direction. They are, you know, in a dilemma here. Should they allow the Gentiles in? Should the Gentiles, if they allow them in, should they keep the law or not keep the law? And of course, even the Jews could not keep the law in totality. The Bible says that the law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In other words, we now know and can see that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, is nothing more than a type or shadow of the things to come. But the New Testament says we have a better testament. We have a better covenant, because this covenant now is about the Holy Spirit in us. It's not about trying to keep the law. Are you with me? And so they're all kind of confused about this, and they don't have direction. But here's the first one I want you to see, is that somebody in the church, and it happened to be the pastor James, stood up in verse 15. If you'll look at that verse, it says, And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. And then he goes and he tells them an Old Testament scripture that gives them the counsel that they need to make the proper decision. So the first one I want to give you this morning, and what you need to know, is that God will speak to you through godly counsel. Say with me, godly counsel. Every Christian in this room today needs godly counsel. Every one of us in here, because if we're not careful, we get to thinking we don't need anybody's help, but we do need help. We do need godly counsel. In Proverbs, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 24:6 says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. New King James says, and in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, you cannot always see in high definition. You cannot always see 360 peripheral vision around you, okay? I don't know, you know, I remember as a kid, a little boy, we would get a box and put breadcrumbs and lift it up with a stick and put a string on that stick. You know, did any of y'all ever do that? You know, and then hide behind a tree or hide in behind the garage or somewhere, and you just place breadcrumbs right up to get right up under that box, and those sparrows or one of those birds would come and just hop and start, you know, nibbling on the breadcrumbs until they got to that big piece under the box, and when they got under there, you just yanked that string and caught that bird. And then we didn't know what to do with the bird, so we let him go. But I say that because, again, that is a picture of how a lot of Christians are. They nibble here. They nibble there. And I have found out that the devil is a master of disguise. He is the master deceiver. And he gets Christians thinking that this is the will of God and thinking that that's the will of God. But it's not the will of God because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Are you with me? And so we have to, you know, we have to be careful when we become independent and think that, you know, we don't need anybody's advice. Well, you don't need just anybody's advice. We're not talking about advice. We're talking about godly counsel. You don't need advice. You need a word from God. And God will speak a word to you through godly counsel. We have to come back and every time that we, you know, come to a major crossroad or a major decision in our life, we need to understand that there's that safety in a multitude of counselors. That you cannot see everything. You cannot know everything. And sometimes we need that confirmation to run it past. It's like I do in the church. I run it past certain men in the church or certain people that I look up to in the ministry because I want to get checks. I want to get balances that what I'm doing is of God and make sure that I don't do something that would grieve the Spirit of God or do something wrong. Now, we all make mistakes. But we've got to come back to a place where the older we get, we're supposed to get wiser. Amen? You know, when we're children again, when we're about 13 or 14, we think our parents don't know anything. Let me tell you something. Children, you need to listen to your parents, especially if they're godly parents. You find out at 13 or 14, you think they're as goofy as everything. They don't know anything about anything. But then you get up to about 24 and you find out they did know a little bit. Amen. And then you get up to about 34 or 44 and you find out they knew a whole lot. Amen. Are you with me? And you know what else? Husbands need to listen to their godly wives. The wives missed a good opportunity to say amen. Had Pontius Pilate listened to his wife, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Are you with me? But you know what else? Godly wives need to listen to godly husbands too. There we go. Amen. Because why? Because there are things that we need checks and balances. You know, your wife gets out to the mall, it's a good thing to call the husband and say, before you just go buy something, spend a lot of money, check with your godly husband. Amen. Are you with me? There's safety, say safety, in a multitude of counselors. You need a godly pastoral input. God has given you a gift in a pastor to not just feed you the Word of God, but to run things by so that there can be a bearing of witness that whatever you believe God is, you know, showing you or saying for you to do, that there's godly counsel. Amen? Like I said, we don't need somebody's opinion. We need a Word from God. Because how many know a lot of people will give you their opinions? I said you can get opinions everywhere. But Psalms 1 says that we are not to counsel with the ungodly. So I'm not talking about ungodly counsel. I'm talking about godly counsel. Because an independent spirit, listen to me, an independent spirit of not thinking that you need to listen to anybody will get you in trouble. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in some business deal, whether it's in some financial investment, you need the safety that comes from godly, if you will, a word from godly counsel. And that's one of the ways that God speaks to us because in the Bible, remember, the Bible is divided into two parts. It's divided into the Old Testament. It's divided into the New Testament. The New Testament tells us the revealed Word of God. The Old Covenant is that type and shadow of the things that were to come. And God's Word, listen, both Old Testament and New Testament constitute all of the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is on something? There is a scripture for everything that you face in life. I said everything that you will face as a human being in this life, there is a counsel from God's Word in His Bible, because His Bible is His Word. I remember hearing the story about this Russian lady. I don't know, must have been years ago, 30 or 40 years ago, when it was illegal to have churches in Russia. And she was on her way to a church, an underground church service. And the KGB stopped her and said, "Where are you going?" She thought a minute, and all of a sudden it just flashed to her to tell him. She said, "Well, my elder brother just died, and I'm on the way for the hearing and the reading of his will." She didn't want to lie. She didn't want to tell a lie. But how many know it's important? Listen, it's important that we have a daily reading of God's Word. Not just to check off some box that we read this or read that today. I can't tell you how many times in my own personal devotion, when I got the Word this morning for you about becoming a great resource, it really had nothing to do with what I was going to share for the offering, but God will give you a Word out of reading His Word. God will speak to you in your spirit, because it can't go into your head. It has to come into your spirit. Are you with me? That's what we talked about last week, trying to hear God with our heads. That's where we get in trouble, because the mental can never supersede the spiritual. We can never become so analytic and trying to get everything where it just lines up right and think, well, this is the will of God, because it may not be the will of God. It has to be in our heart. It has to be in our spirit. You should always find scripture that will bring, if you will, light or define the situation that you are going through or that you are facing. And I can tell you again, as a pastor, there's just a few categories that everybody falls into. Either they've got problems with their health, they got problems with their finances, or they got problems with their relationship, whether it be marriage or children. But did you know that there's a Word of God for every issue, for everything in there? And if you can find the will of God, you can pray. Listen, you can pray. Just like I could give you a whole bunch of scriptures this morning where Paul would start his salutation or start the entrance of one of his books and says that I pray for you, like in Colossians 1:9, that you might know what is the will of God. Epaphras prayed every day that you might stand perfect. It's in Colossians 4:12. You can just write it down. It says that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Every time you find a scripture in the Bible that has the will of God in it, stop and meditate on that scripture, because you can pray what the will of God. The best way to pray, last week I said we need to learn to pray in the Spirit. We need to learn to use our prayer language of praying in tongues. But the best way you can pray in your own language is to pray the Word of God. It says that we are to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So I memorize those kind of scriptures. When you have the scripture in you, it becomes easy to pray the scripture. If you don't have the scripture in you, then it becomes difficult to pray the will of God, because the will of God is His Word. Am I communicating to anybody? Are you getting this across? So when you get the Word in you, then His will begins to happen. I said, when you get the will of God on the inside of you and you begin to pray in faith, then the will of God begins to happen in your life. And the will of God is that you succeed, not fail. The will of God is that you prosper, not go down in defeat or in need. Are you with me? The will of God is that you walk in divine health. The will of God is that you prosper even as your soul prospers. So when these things are in us, and when the circumstances are contrary to it, and when things look contrary to the Word of God, we know the Word of God cannot contradict itself. So whose report are we going to believe, as Isaiah said? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen? We're going to pray what God said to pray. So the first way that you and I need to make sure that we can stay on track and understand God's delivery method of getting the will of God to us is to have godly counsel. I believe every Christian, listen, you ought to, if you're in business, you ought to have a godly CPA. If you got legal problems, you ought to have a Christian lawyer. If you got health problems, you ought to have a Christian doctor. You say, well, how do I know if they're Christian? Ask them. I mean, if they're worshiping Buddha, they may be a good surgeon. You know, or if they're a Muslim, they may be, you know, good at what they practice. But listen, keep praying. Find one that loves God, your God. Yes. Are you with me? Keep praying the will of God. I'm just saying that every one of us in here need godly counsel. Amen. All right? Here's the second one, okay? Just turn over to Acts chapter 16. Are you with me? Yeah. So the first way that God speaks to us is through godly counsel, through people like your pastor. And the second way, now we're going to find right here in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, is the second way that God speaks to us is through an inward witness. Inward witness. Last week I spoke to you about an inward voice. But we have to make sure that we're not hearing the voice with our head, but we're hearing with our hearts. Are you with me? The inward witness, now listen to this. The inward witness is like a stoplight. You say, what is that? What are you talking about, Pastor? What's an inward witness? Not an inward word now, but an inward witness is like a, well, let me just use that example, like a red light. You know, you're going down the road and you see a red light up in the distance. When that light is red, when you come to that intersection, you can be talking on your cell phone like a lot of you do. You can be listening to your MP3 and just jamming out. But when that light's red, you're programmed to stop. You just stop. If you're going down and you're sickling down the road and you're doing other things and that light's green, you don't even think about it. You just go on through. Are you with me? Amen. And if that light is amber or yellow, what do? You don't step on the gas and run the red. You start, all of a sudden your alert system comes up and says, well, better look. You know, look and you start slowing down. Are you with me? Well, that's what the inward witness, the Holy Spirit on the inside is given to you and I to be like the stoplight. Because God will either give you a red light or a green light. Amen. He'll either give you a go or a stop. Some people get go and woe mixed up. God will either tell you and give you a peace about something, or you won't have peace. We need to learn to listen to the inward witness, because that is a way that God speaks to us, is through that inward witness. But even if it's an inward witness, listen to me, it still has to come back and line up with the Word of God. Now we see right here this inward witness, because it'll be, think of a stoplight, it'll be yes, or it'll be no. Now, here's where we get in trouble. Is when it says no, when the light is red, we want to go on anyway. Now listen. Paul here, well, let me just read it to you. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Did you find that one? Paul's on his missionary journey. He had been preaching in the churches. Verse 5, how they were strengthened and how they increased daily. Verse 6 says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were, look at this, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean the Holy Spirit would stop somebody from going to preach the word? Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit stopped him from going to Asia to preach the word of God. It has to do with timing. God's not against preaching his word, but how many know we can get out of place and we can get out of time? Now, if I could show you a picture, if you ever look at those missionary maps in the back of your Bible, some of you probably never get back that far, you'll find out that actually Paul had gone west as far as he could go, which is probably the modern-day Turkey, right the edge there of that coastline, Istanbul, in that area, a modern-day map. And he had in his mind that he wanted to go towards Asia. For some reason, he had an inclination that he wanted to go to Bithynia, which would be Asia Major. He was in Asia Minor, for those that look at those maps. But the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit spoke inside of him. There was an inward witness that said, don't go to Asia. Well, again, listen, you may have something in your head that looks right. You know, just like some of you young people, you think, oh, I met this guy, he's so cool. Oh, I met him at Starbucks, and man, he's got a good-looking car, and I think he's got a job, and he's so neat. You know, a lot of times your head is, hey, that's Mr. Right. Oh, yeah, but your parents are saying, that's the devil, don't get involved. Listen to your godly parents, young people. In fact, let me just go another step further. Don't you ever marry somebody you don't get approval from your parents.
Amen.
Amen. I'm saying things can look like, oh, this is right. This is what I should do. Because our head is telling us one thing. But as Christians, we've got to learn to listen to this part down here. Are you with me? Say, it's down in my belly. Remember we had that preacher one time preaches down in my belly? The only problem is his belly would jiggle every time he'd do it. Mine's not jiggling yet. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
All right. So what happened here? Well, it says, now because let me just say, you should never go beyond your witness in a relationship, in a purchase, an investment, or a business deal, or any aspect of your life without the proper inward witness. I just saved a lot of you right there a bunch of heartache. I'm not sure you even listened to it. Did you listen? Because God has given you not only godly counsel to impart and to input, to bear witness of His Word and direction and guidance, but that you have an inward witness. Now look what happened here. It says, after they had come, it says that they were forbidden to go by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And then verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go. That would be east. Now look, he says, he tried to go to Bithynia. That would be east. In other words, he was trying to go what's called the Silk Road or the Silk Trail or whatever they called it back then to Asia, or which would be China. Now that's what he had inclination to do, but look what it says there. It says, but the what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, did not permit them. Now, here's what happens. We get an inward witness. We're not staying in tune with what the Holy Spirit is directing us to do. We get a red light. Don't do that. Don't do that. But we think in our mind, we just got to do this. It's like you going, you know, when somebody putting pressure on you to buy something. Oh, I got a special deal for you, and it's only a 2-day sale. If you miss it, you have lost it forever. How many of you got enough confidence in the American enterprise system that they'll come up with another one? And another sale? Are you with me? So don't ever buy something if somebody's putting pressure on you. You say, look, yeah, Pastor, but I had to do something. You had to do something? If you were at the intersection, Lars, and the light was red, do you have to go through it?
No.
Come on, somebody. I said, when you get to the intersection and the light's red, what makes you think you're going to go ahead and step on the gas and go through it and get creamed by somebody? Well, see, as Christians, we get the inward witness because He's going to give us green light, red light.
Amen.
Amen.
Go or no?
Yes.
And if he says no, we stop, turn off the motor, put it in park, and wait upon the Lord, because those that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. Amen. Where we get in trouble, I said, where we get in a heap of trouble, as Matt Dillon's Chester used to say, is by going when God said, hold up here. The Holy Spirit spoke. And it's like it was telling Paul, don't go, even though his head was saying, hey, they need the gospel over there in Asia. Now this brings me to the next one here in verse 9. Paul finally got a witness, okay? It says that a man, look at verse 9, it says, and a vision. So here's the next one I want you to write down. The next way the Holy Spirit delivers to us the will of God is through vision and dreams. Say it with me, say visions and dreams. Now, he says in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, I question this a little bit because somebody said, well, what's the difference between vision and dreams? It's not being old man or young man. It's really, visions come more like when you're in a trance or when you're meditating. But dreams come more at the nighttime. And since this was night, I would have to probably say that it was more of a dream than a vision. But he saw in this vision or in this dream, and again, why does God use vision and dreams to speak to us? You ever thought about that? You know, during the day, we're busy. During the day, our mind is on our work. Our mind is on this thing. Our mind is on that thing. And our bodies and minds are going 100 different directions. But at night, all of that stuff shuts down. Are you with me? And your mind kind of goes into relax mode, like your body. You know, you're sitting there and you're snoozing and snoring away. And now listen to me. I'm not saying every dream and every vision you get comes from the Lord. You could go to bed late tonight and eat CC's pizza before you go to bed and probably have some crazy weird dreams. Y'all heard about the lady that went to her pastor that she had a dream and wanted him to interpret it. Did I tell y'all that? Oh, you want to hear it? Well, she went to her pastor and said, Pastor, I had this dream. It was kind of funny, a weird dream. So what'd you dream, lady? Well, I looked out my window and I saw this hog going across my front yard, and on the hog there was riding a monkey on his back holding a big banana in his left hand. And she said, Pastor, what do you think that means? He said, well, I think it means that monkey was riding high on the hog. So my point is this. I thought I told that. My point is this, is that not every dream comes that you get comes from God. But dreams and visions can come from the Lord. And Paul, now look at this. Paul received a vision or a dream here of a man standing in Macedonia. Now again, you have to kind of visualize here what's taking place. Macedonia, the Bible says that a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him saying, come over to Macedonia to help us. And it says, after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia. In other words, he waited on God. He didn't do what his inward witness was telling him to do. All he knew, the inward witness wouldn't tell him where to go, but it was telling him where not to go. And all of a sudden he gets a vision of this man standing in Macedonia, which is going now south and back to the west. But listen to this. Do you realize that you are in this building today because of this dream? Now think about what I just said. You are in this place today because that man was obedient to the dream that the Spirit of God gave him. Think about it. He went down. He didn't go east like he wanted to go, which would have been to China and evangelized China. But he came south and then he went back west through Greece, through Cyprus, then to Rome. And from the Roman Empire, they went to Great Britain. And Great Britain from there came and planted Christianity in the United States of America. We became a godly nation, a nation under God through the evangelism of a man that was, oh, you're not getting this, was obedient to follow the will of God for his life. And this country was set up as a country, one nation under God. That's why the devil do not like the United States of America. Why? Because we represent what God stands for. Not, you know, we send more missionaries out than any other country in the world. We send more missionary financing out than more than any other country in the world. Had Paul went east like he wanted to, China would probably be in our place. It would be evangelized. But you see, God had a plan. Always remember, what God is instructing you to do in His will is not just for today, but it could be for future generations and for time even to come. Are y'all with me? He got a vision and He got a dream. The decision that you make could be affecting generations and things to come. So here's the next one. Going over to Acts chapter 21. I wish I could dwell on that some more. Did you get that? Okay, so I'm just showing you different ways. I give you like five last week. I'm giving you four today. Here's the fourth one. Okay, in Acts chapter 21, our job is to get in alignment and God will give us the assignment. Amen? So Paul is traveling back from Jerusalem now in Acts chapter 21. He's went and he's planted the seed of the gospel. Macedonia and Galatia and all those places that would eventually evangelize the Roman Empire and then the Great Britain Empire and so on and so forth. And now he's on his way back to Jerusalem. And every stop he makes in every city where there's a prophet, the prophet is telling him not to go back to Jerusalem. Because if he goes back to Jerusalem, he's going to be in prison. And in verse 21, let me read this to you. Let's go back to verse 10. It says, "And he stayed many days and a certain prophet." Now here's the fourth way, and I'll spend just a little time on this so you can understand. Here's the fourth way that God can deliver His will to us is through prophecy. Say prophecy. And prophecy, we have to really get a handle on prophecy. I am very much for the prophetic word of God.
Amen.
It says, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now we've read about Agabus before. It's in Acts chapter 11. You'll find out that he predicted a famine because prophets foretell of things that are to come. The fivefold ministry of prophet gives a foretelling of some future thing that is going to happen or come to pass. And he prophesied that in the reign of Caesar Agabus, I believe it was, that there would be a famine. And a prophecy from a true prophet always comes to pass. Are you with me? Okay. So, he said, when he had come, look at verse 11, and when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit." Now, when somebody says, "Thus saith the Holy Spirit," "Thus saith the Lord," we need to take ears and hear what is being said. Prophecy, I will admit to you, you need to be a little more advanced in your spirituality. Let me tell you, I'll tell you why in just a minute, but let me finish reading this. It says, "So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man with his own belt, with the one that owns this belt, and deliver him into the hands of the Gentile. Now, prophecy is a powerful word that comes from the Holy Spirit giving us direction and confirmation. Now, prophecy here given to Paul was not so that he could cop out or become scared or fearful of what was going to happen to him, but only to know that this was what was awaiting him. Because he already had a mandate, come on somebody, that he would go to Jerusalem, he would incorporate the Gentile into the church, and he would go and preach in the household of Caesar. Ever how that had to come to pass? It would come to pass. They told him, and this is why a lot of people, they don't really actively seek the will of God, because sometimes the in-between stuff can really get hairy and scary. And sometimes people think, well, hey, if I known I was going to have all this trouble, if I known I was going to have all these attacks, I'd just sit on the pew and just been a good boy and come and go and I don't know. Which was what most people do. But it's not about what you do. It's about what God told you to do. Because you will only be rewarded for what God told you to do, not what you thought was good to do. Are you with me? Okay. So let me just give you these things about prophecy because of the time here. Prophecy must always line up with Scripture. Notice every one of these I've told you, they can't be out in left field. They have to always line up with Scripture. Prophecy must be tested by the church. Let two or three prophesy and let the others judge, okay? Prophecy should confirm, if somebody gives you a prophecy, for example, it should confirm something already in your spirit. Amen. Maybe there's an inward witness there. Maybe there was some godly counsel there. Maybe there was a dream or vision there. But now it's bringing confirmation and it's bringing direction to something that is already in you. Amen. Okay? Prophecy should come, now listen to this one. Prophecy should come from somebody, not just because they say they're a prophet, but come from someone who has good character, good morals, and who is seasoned in the Lord. Amen. And they should be under spiritual authority. You know, I have people try to give me a word a lot of times. You have to be careful because the Bible also talks about false prophets. False prophecies. And while we're talking about that, let's get on these parking lot prophecies. People come up to you in the parking lot and say, oh, I got a word for you. Or even come up in the church and say, oh, the Lord told me to tell you this. Be careful. Be careful. I said be careful. Who authorized them to give that word? Are they under some spiritual authority? Who's their pastor? Why are they giving you that word? Because the danger is you can receive that word as that word coming from God, and that thing can come to pass in your life because you believed it.
Amen.
I had a lady tell me one time, if I didn't do this or I didn't do that, then I was going to die. And I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There'll be people come to you and say, well, if you keep doing this, you're going to have cancer. You got to rebuke that. You got to tell them, hey, the Bible says I will live and not die. I am the head and I am not the tail. I am above and I am not beneath. Satan is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come to give me life. Just put the scripture up there, would you, Victor? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. Prophecy must always line up with what God has already said. Don't just allow. Listen to me. I'm pastoring you. Don't just allow any person to prophesy over you.
Amen.
And to you.
Thank you.
First, would you put that scripture? Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't look. See, it's not Victor. It's his lovely daughter, Rhea. Would you put that up there? Because all prophecy has to be tested, it has to be judged, and it has to be analyzed. Can you get it there? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 tells us to quench not the Spirit. She's coming. But I'll read it to you. Say, quench not the Spirit. Because we depend as Christians on the Holy Spirit for the divine guidance, for the divine confirmation. The Spirit and the Word has to agree. The next verse, if you will, verse 20 says, do not despise prophecies. We don't despise them. We just have to make sure whoever is giving them is of God. Everything that comes from God has the right. Put the next verse up, if you will. Because there's where it tells us that test all things, hold fast what is good. And if you would, just put up 1 Corinthians 14:29 just for them to see. Because there it says that prophecy is to be judged in the church. In other words, when somebody gives a word of God, now we're not sitting here trying to discern, oh, this person missed it, or this person made a mistake, or et cetera, et cetera. It just lets us know that we have a right to make sure that what is being said lines up with the Word of God. Are you with me, church? Because we don't despise prophecy, but we test it. Because let me tell you something. When true prophecy comes, listen, there's a spiritual principle here I want you to see. When true prophecy comes, and you can read many times in the Bible where it came, it's a divine design by the Holy Spirit to wake you up spiritually. To cause something that was dormant or something that was relaxed on the inside of you to be resurrected and to wake up. That this is the will of God for my life. How many people miss the will of God because they get confused or they get wrong counsel or they think that this is good or that's good, but they miss totality in what God's will is for their life. So prophecy, yeah, we don't despise it because it is designed to stir something up on the inside of us that may otherwise not be stirred. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. That was a prophecy to him. Because a lot of times we don't think we can do this. We don't think we can do that. Some of you are sitting today in the pew that have a ministry from God and you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to use you that you can be a blessing and give glory to the body of Christ. Thank you for those 1-2 claps and amens. Now, let me close it. Go back to where did I tell you? 2 Timothy? Anybody remember that far back? Okay. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say, I'm glad.
I'm here.
Because the pastor will tell it like it is.
Hallelujah.
No, the Holy Spirit will tell it like it is. Holy Spirit just tells me something and I try my best to tell you what the Holy Spirit told me. You got a problem with it? Go to Him.
Amen.
Now let me finish this up. Are you ready? Paul said, I have fought the good fight. Remember verse 7? He said, I finished the race. Let me ask you something. Are you in a race today? Because there's basically four kinds of people in the church. Some, they're saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and know exactly what God has called them to do. There's some that are in the church, and they're just in the church. They have no more idea than a man in the moon that God has given them a ministry. There's others that just sit in church, come and go, as ritual, religion. They're not saved. There's others that are here, and they want to know what the will of God is for their life. They're serious about God because they saw that God was serious about them. Are you with me? Paul said, look, Paul is about ready to cross the finish line of his race. History tells us that he was on his way when he got to Rome and he preached. Then the next thing that happened to him was that he got beheaded by Nero. Got his head cut smack dab off. But his eyes was not on his life as far as what he accomplished here. As far as doing his own thing. Are you with me? He saw that life was more than just accumulating things changing colors on cars every few years,
yes,
and paying bills,
yes,
and those kind of things. Are you with me? He saw a purpose. He said, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And he said, finally. Say, finally. See, when the race is almost done, you see that ribbon across there. See, most of us are waiting when we get to heaven for, listen, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But some people are going to hear, well, you're done. Paul said, I have finished. I'm coming up on the finish line here. And, now look at this. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What are we running this race for? Are we running it to get to heaven? If you're running this race to get to heaven, you better get saved this morning. But if you're saved, you better find out and understand what the will of God is for your life. Because that's what He says, a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge. In other words, there's going to be a judgment. What are you building your house with? Wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones? Are you building quality? Are you building quantity? Are you just about activity? Are you about finding and doing the will of God for your life?
Amen.
He said, the Lord will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to, what's the next word? All who have loved His appearing. Or in other words, those that got in this race made up their mind that God is a great God, and beside Him, come on, there is no other God. Where are you in your divine assignment this morning? What has God called you to do in this great, perpetual, eternal plan that God has for our lives? Now, isn't that better than sitting in some old dead, dried up, cold, no anointing, yucky church? Come on! I mean, we ought to come alive in the Holy Ghost! Yeah! Now, I want you to stand up with me just a minute before we do our mission on, because, you think the devil likes this kind of word? I'll tell you, not only he doesn't like it, but a lot of Christians don't like it. You know why? Because, again, it puts us into a place of accountability. What are we doing with our life? Well, Pastor, yeah, you get paid. Listen, I was serving God before I ever got paid. I'd serve God if I got paid or didn't get paid. That has nothing to do with anything. Come on, that has nothing to do with anything. Everything has to do with you representing Jesus, doing the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. Find the jacket that fits. Find the ministry that has been custom tailored. A design, divine design by God in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You this morning. Oh, we thank You, Lord. God, You've called this church. Lord, we are here today. And I didn't finish that part. You are actually here because of Paul's obedience to the Holy Spirit, but You are actually in this physical building because God gave me a vision as I drove by this place some 25 years ago. We have this building. It is God's building. And there has been many fruit that has come from this building. Praise God for it. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And the devil has tried and he's tried and he's tried. But you know what? Though he may try his best will never be good enough.
Hallelujah.
You are here today for a divine encounter, a divine purpose. Take it seriously. In the name of Jesus. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if there is someone in this house of God and you're not sure of your destiny, you're not sure where you will end up once you cross the finish line, you're not sure that Jesus is your Lord this morning, I give you opportunity to raise your hand and be prayed for to receive Jesus as Lord and Christ and Savior in your heart and in your life. So if you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I am not sure of my eternal destination. I am not sure where I will wind up. Then I ask you this morning to lift your hand or come up here with me and let me pray for you. Don't leave this place not knowing what the will of God is. Don't leave this place confused and disillusioned and a lack of understanding. I pray for you every day. I pray those prayers in Colossians 1:9. I pray it in Colossians 4:12 that you might stand perfect, complete, that you might know what the will of God is. Is anyone here this morning not sure of your salvation? Come on, lift your hand if you're not sure. Anyone in this place? Is there somebody? I can't see. Just if you're not sure, you need to come up here. This is heaven and this is hell. This is the difference between church and religion. This is the difference between where you'll spend eternity, because you will spend eternity somewhere. If you brought somebody, we'll help them up here, okay? Because people come into a church. I was in a church Thursday. The pastor gave a very excellent explanation of heaven and hell, but he gave nobody opportunity to come and receive the Lord. He didn't give them the answer. So the answer is Jesus. You will not escape, beloved, into the next life unless you receive Jesus. Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Chrisetta. You know, when y'all bring somebody, you know, you got to encourage them, because this is strange. I know it's strange. First time I went into church and they gave an altar call about salvation, I freaked out. I didn't know what it was. Hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name. Are y'all ready? Anybody else before we pray this prayer? Anybody else? Listen, if something's touched, see, you say, Pastor, would the Holy Spirit show me something without being saved? Yes, He will. He'll show you that you're not saved. That's about all you're going to get from God when you're not saved, that you need to be saved. Now, if you want the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, you're going to have to receive Jesus. Amen. Anybody else before I pray for these? Here's your opportunity, beloved. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the train. It's leaving the station. Okay? Are we all clear? Good, okay, see you? Amen? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, ladies. Now we're going to pray for you, okay? We're going to pray for you, okay? I want you all to say this prayer with me, because we're just going to do what the Bible says. We're going to say it this way. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to the altar this morning that you could gloriously save my life. I ask you to forgive me of my past and every sin that I have ever done. Forgive me now in Jesus' name. And receive me as your very own. And today is a new day. And I declare from my heart, through my lips, that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And in Jesus' name, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart to be my Savior. Amen.